Speaking of which, Bubba was supposed to be here today, and you know what his excuse was? 51 minutes before coming over here?
Yeah.
I believe he wrote, so I just got into a very dangerous project of baking brownies and cleaning out the pantry.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens when you're married. Not that I would.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was him texting or his wife.
No, it's probably his wife.
Like, uh-oh. Did we text the wrong number?
He didn't want to endure the wrath of the beatings that would continue if he didn't do the... I don't know.
So you guys
there
think...
There would have been a domestic at that house
there
tonight.
There would definitely have been a domestic, yeah.
So you guys genuinely think that he's cleaning out the pantry right now?
No, I think it's probably
There's no chance.
He's either sitting...
Or he just didn't feel like coming out.
Why don't we send a car over and we'll see?
I don't know.
I think
I want to believe that.
Why don't you call him on the phone?
I don't even know what I want to believe right now.
Do you think he's wearing an apron?
I'm just disgusted. Probably.
And he's wearing his glasses?
I guarantee it.
Why don't you call him on the phone right now, put it up to the mic, and then see what he says. See how he answers.
It probably won't be appropriate.
It's all right. But what did the other one say? There was a... what's his name?
He's putting kids to bed or something. A lot of excuses out of these guys.
There are many excuses out here. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm trying to run a legitimate podcast
here. I have
here.
To come every week because I have no excuse.
And,
I just don't have one. I would tread lightly with that.
Let him know directly.
Of course. And we're trying to get a hold of our...
Hello?
Hey, Bubba, you're on, you're live on, Criminal Masterminds. How are you today, sir?
I'm sorry, you said I'm live?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bubbo. How are you?
Tread lightly.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Just sitting here with the kiddos.
Oh, boy.
How clean is that pantry?
Yeah, so the pantry, and you're making brownies now?
Yeah, working on that. You can hear the oven timer in the background. My parents coming in, so, you know, got to make sure the house is thick and span.
So full of crap.
But I think some of us are here are very skeptical whether that's the case.
It's a unanimous vote that we...
you can be as skeptical as you care to be. I'm just telling you what it is. We had a mouse in our pantry, so I had to clean up the pantry.
You had a mouse in your pantry?
Now it's a mouse.
Yep.
The lies keep compiling.
The pantry, and they're coming through the garage, and they're sneaking up the wall, and they're coming in and living in the pantry.
The lies keep compiling.
He's telling a story.
Brad Donati here.
He's digging himself a deep hole.
He's doubting all your stories. Masterminds. We are on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and Podcast Network. I'm your host, Richard Tracy, and today, guess who's back? Brad Donati.
Brad Donati's back, baby.
For some reason, Brad Donati likes to speak in third person.
I do.
And we got a new guest, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
wow. You're spewing already.
Look at that.
You're right. Are you nervous?
I was drinking Guinness right here.
I see him sweating.
I was drinking Guinness, and then you introduced me and give me a warning.
Oh, well.
Look at the beads of sweat running down his forehead right now.
The warning was, hi, you're listening to Criminal Masterminds on America Out Loud Radio Network.
Some people, that's too much to handle.
My name is Jimmy, and thank you very much for having me.
Hi, Jimmy. Hey, real quick, just want to follow up on the hostage situation that from Delaware that we did last week. We jumped into it doing a live coverage, and I got an article off the Post here. Yeah, I know, it's the Post. Nobody likes the Post. But the Post writes, a day-long hostage standoff inside Delaware's largest state prison for men ended early Thursday after the state police stormed the building, finding a veteran corrections officer dead and rescuing another official who was being held hostage. Authorities said they were not able to immediately release a motive for the attack, nor were they able to say how many inmates were involved, adding that every inmate in the building at the time is considered a suspect as the investigation gets underway. The standoff began Wednesday about 10:30 a.m. when inmates at the James T. Vaughn Correctional Center in Smyrna, about 40 miles south of Wilmington, took four corrections department workers and possibly some fellow prisoners, hostage inside one of the facility's buildings. That's creepy. Can you imagine?
No.
I say, can you imagine a lot? No. But in this particular instance, you're in a... I always said to myself, being a corrections officer, not my gig.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That sounds terrible.
It sounds, you know, you're confined. You're not armed, really. And then you're in...
I feel like you're pretty much at the mercy of...
You're in a cell, a big cell with little other cells. And yeah, there are guys in there who are criminals.
Clearly.
No.
Yeah, they're definitely criminals, you know.
Not a job for Brad Donati.
Not a job for Richard Tracy either.
Not a job for me. I'm not going to talk in third person, but I'll say not a job
Jimmy,
for me.
Jimmy doesn't want to be a correctional officer.
No, thank you.
They did not elaborate on the weapons, but said there were, quote, sharp instruments involved. Early Thursday, the siege ended after the police breached the building and rescued a female staff member who was not injured. They also found Sergeant Stephen R. Floyd, a 16-year veteran of the Delaware Department of Corrections, but he was unresponsive. Floyd, 47, was declared dead a short time later. Perry Phelps, the state's corrections commissioner, said during the emotional remarks on Thursday morning briefing. Quote, I'm not going to read this quote. Yeah. Just in general, it didn't turn out well. There's a correctional officer died, and that's just it's a crummy situation overall. But I wanted to follow up on it because we, you know, went live to our reporter down in Delaware, and he did a great job reporting to us, of course. So straight to BlueLivesMatter.blue. The first story off of there is a great video of a semi squashing a Wyoming Highway Patrol car. Can you hit play on that bad boy? Actually, there's no sound on this one. You can go watch this video on the website.
Where is this at again?
This is in L... What is this? Plasma. Ooh, ads. We love ads. Oh, okay. So this is Elk Mountain, Wyoming on the shoulder. And there, here comes the semi. Ooh.
So this guy's just cruising down the street.
He was.
Is this a traffic stop or?
Looks like it was an accident. Well, here, I have the article here. A dash camera video shows a horrifying moment when a semi truck was blown over by wind. Right on top of the Wyoming Highway Patrol car. This event occurred on February 7th near Elk Mountain, Wyoming, on Interstate 80. Three Wyoming state troopers were on scene providing care for the motorists who were involved in the previous crashes. All troopers were out of their patrol cars, thank God, and assisting others, and were not injured.
Yeah, because that thing turns on its side and just pancakes that... Patrol car.
I think anybody in that car probably would have been killed.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, man,
dude.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now,
Brad, you never get out of your car, though, Brad, do you?
No.
No, okay, so.
There's no reason.
Oh, there were two occupants in the semi also, and they were uninjured.
All
right. Yeah, but yeah, check out the video. It's, you're just watching it. You're like, oh, boy. Yeah. That wind, pesky Wyoming wind, came out of nowhere. Yeah, wasn't there,
there's got to be like a wind advisory or something.
Wasn't there a guy that was going across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge too?
Yeah.
He died though.
Yeah. The sad thing is he actually made it out of the car or the truck and then he was able to be rescued and then he died on the way to the hospital.
Do you know what he died from, the impact or did he die from like hypothermia? I would imagine, you know,
probably
February
both.
Or January.
Probably both.
But water is a little frigid.
And where is that? Maryland? Delaware?
I think it's Maryland. Yeah.
Maryland, yeah.
But I do... From the video, it didn't look like he was at the peak of the bridge, so...
Yeah, oh, you know. So at least it wasn't... See, yeah, that's my question.
Well, yeah, how high was it when he...
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, for him to live the actual fall...
I've never been on that bridge before, so I don't know.
But he lived the fall because...
I did watch the aftermath of that video. I saw two state... I'm assuming they're state troopers walk right up to the ledge. And now, granted, they just issued a wind advisory, okay? And you got these two state troopers with, I guess, balls the size of, you know, I don't know, not Brad's... But no. They're walking right up to the corner and they're looking over it. And I'm like, yo, a truck just blew off the bridge. And now you're going to walk
Yeah,
right
but those troopers aren't as wide as that truck cargo.
Yeah, hence the wind catches that thing like a sail.
Yeah, it'll catch that, yeah.
Catches it like a sail.
Those semis will tip over. If the wind's, clearly it was that in that case and in this video that we saw. If it's strong enough, gusty enough, and powerful enough, It will pick up that semi-cargo and just flop it right over.
Jesus.
Hey, Jesus got nothing to do with it, but, well, I don't know.
Maybe
he did. Maybe he just was...
Wrong.
What do we got here?
All right. I just saw on the page, just popped up not too long ago, in Greensboro, North Carolina, Greensboro police officer was shot Friday afternoon, which would be today, during a traffic stop. And if my computer decides to cooperate with me and scroll up, I can tell you that Cowgirl wrote this article. Thank you, Miss Cowgirl. According to Fox 8 News, the incident occurred about 4:30 p.m. in the area of Bernal Avenue and Baker Street. Why didn't you wake up on Baker Street? Na 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 na. Another crazy day. Drink the night away and forget about everything. Do do do. Sorry, we got a little distracted with Baker Street.
Nah, I don't get
it. Good song. You never heard of Baker Street?
Nah, man.
You pull up Baker Street for me on something.
Who knows?
Don't worry about it.
I don't even know where that's either.
But okay. The officer was transported to the local hospital and is receiving treatment. So, a second person...
Where was he shot?
...was also shot. They don't say. Also shot and is receiving treatment at a local hospital.
Oh, right, well, that's good news.
It is not known at this time if the second person is a suspect. The officer's names are not released. The identity of the second person has not been released either. And neither has their conditions been released either. Well, not much of anything going on here other than people were shot.
The officer's okay, though.
Two suspects are reportedly in custody also. Police officers are on scene interviewing witnesses and collecting evidence. The investigation is ongoing. Sounds like if it's been posted since this afternoon, it's already pretty late in the day. I'm assuming they're probably okay. Hopefully. Well, we'll see. Follow it up on the Facebook page or...
sure
Blue Lives Matter.
I'm sure they'll post it
if heaven forbid. But here we got. They had a bunch of posts, and it just says it's a developing story. All right, that was exciting, wasn't it? There's a body camera video that I wanted to talk about. It was really, really, really good to watch. The body camera of the Alamogordo officer.
Where was this?
New Mexico.
New Mexico? Yeah, Alamogordo. Can you find that video for me, bud? Yeah. This was from September 2016, so over the fall. In New Mexico, a professional dirtbag, Joseph Moreno, murdered a hero of Alamogordo Police Department, Clint Corvinus. In September 2016, and now the body camera footage from the incident has been released. Officer...
That's what we have right here.
Oh, yeah. Is this it right here?
Yeah, it's loading.
So, Officer Corvinus and a trainee, Officer Christopher Welch, were on patrol when they spotted Joseph Moreno on foot. Moreno was wanted in several warrants, and he ran from the stop. Here's a good video. So, the video starts out with them in the car. They pull up in the alley. Obviously, this is a 30-second prior loop, and there's no volume.
The body camera.
They're running, and then you notice that their pace is, they're picking up on the pace, so they're running faster. So this is the body camera of the Welch guy, the rookie, and the officer that wasn't shot, and the officer that was to the left of him. Okay. So here they are running up to the trailers, or to the houses. They see the guy. Now, if you tap that and pause it for me for a second.
Right now!
Okay, so here they run up on him. There he is standing right there. He's his right side is, I guess he's standing like his right side's exposed. He's not like squared up to the officer. So the officer draws his handgun and he's calling out commands. Go on. The guy's not complying and starting to run away.
Good commands.
Reaching into the bag. Now, this is frightening here. He's not showing hands at all. This is for all the... And now... Okay. Shooting, obviously. pause it for a second for me? Now, what is whoever, if you were pulling this video up and watching this as we're dissecting this in our awful manner, as he's running away, or prior to him starting to run, he's not showing his hands. He's been given multiple commands, firm commands, with while gun-faced to show his hands. He still doesn't show his hands. He turns around, starts running away while reaching into what it looked like he was reaching into a bag or something. Or he had something in his hands. You couldn't see his hands. And this is for all the people out there who say, well, why do you guys need to pull out the gun so quickly or gun face somebody? Or it's like, well, when you can't see the hands, this is a prime example of why. Because this guy, you couldn't see his hands. What does he come up with? He comes up with a gun. And as a result, an officer gets killed during the shootout because he shoots at the police. And hit play on that bad boy. Keep going. And then finally, at this point already, the other officer has been shot.
So he gets shot. He hits the ground. He returns fire and shoots an officer.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
And then the guy gets up.
How far is that shot?
That's at least 25 yards.
Yeah. I would say it's
at least
farther than that.
He got a headshot out of that 25 yards too, didn't he?
That's a moving target too, and I think he got him in the head too.
I would say it's farther than that. That looks farther than 25 yards.
But look at that lateral movement. Okay, he's not stationary. That's important.
That's very good. Yeah, he is moving sideways. That cruiser that's going to pull around him is whoever did that. I think it's a good way to come around and provide cover for the officer. But there's a little crossfire. But, dude, with that amount of stress, there's always crossfire.
Yeah, I'm good with that. And especially when the suspect's already down.
And a shooting?
Then it's like...
During a shooting, especially on top of that, you know? So...
It'd be different if they were actually sending shots downrange.
Right, right, right. So
I will say one good thing about this is under adrenaline, normally what you want to do, or what you, you know, naturally want to do, is run up right on somebody. Yeah. But it's important that what this officer did correctly is that he stood back, he got cover. He got cover behind the SUV. He didn't just rush up and start cuffing.
Oh, he did a great job.
There's no rush at that point. He's already down. Take your time at that point. I mean, as long as he's got his hand, he looks like he has his hands to his sides, I think. So good job on that part.
My issue, I mean, it's not an issue, but it when you do start to close that gap and you're taking your time closing that gap, you got to think cover. But with that SUV there that pulled up there, that was my whole point, is that he had that as cover, and you can kind of start pieing almost around the corner of that.
Pieing around that engine block.
That's right. That's right.
It's a good job. It's what was the officer's name that was tragically killed, though?
That was killed? It was Corvinos. Clint Corvinos, I think.
All right, well.
And then Officer Christopher Welch was the video was of Officer Welch.
And you said was he a rookie? Is that what you're saying?
I think it said trainee Officer Christopher Welch.
He's probably field training then.
Yep, that's a heck of a start. So the guy had warrants. And what else did they say here?
Let me guess. They say what the warrants are for.
After, no, it didn't.
Gun possession.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Probably.
No, it doesn't say it here. Maybe it'll say it later. Also, after the justifiable death of Joseph Moreno, Joseph Moreno's sister started a GoFundMe account to cash in on the brother's death. While begging for money, she claimed that Officer Clint Corvinos was actually shot by Officer Christopher Welch, which wasn't the case at all. Regina Moreno contacted news outlets and convinced some of them to change their story from the fact that their murderous thug of a brother killed Officer Corvinos to more ambiguous language.
Now, was that before the body camera was released, or was this after?
So. Yeah, okay. I think
and
so.
And have any of those news come back out and said, hey, by the way, here's the
we'll
video.
We'll see. Let's see what it says. And the lies spread by Regina Moroni even contributed to the Joseph Romano's gang making threats to kill police officers. That's good. A stolen 357 Magnum was recovered from Joseph Moreno's body. Moreno's criminal history includes armed robbery, aggravated burglary, multiple counts of possession of controlled substances, multiple counts of possession of a firearm by felon, and contributing to delinquent of a minor. Oh, he is an outstanding citizen.
Yeah.
So... There's a go. There's that story for you guys.
That sucks.
No, it's terrible. Terrible for the officer. Just unnecessary. Unnecessary.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that.
There's another one from Baltimore. It was just recent today. Jimmy, can you hit up that other video for me, please? Now, this one's from Bmore, good old Baltimore City.
Bodymore.
Bodymore, is that what they call it?
Murderland.
Bodymore, Murderland.
Yep. Is that what they call it
you
now?
Ever seen The Wire? Ever seen The Wire?
I've seen The Wire.
Everybody at this table has had
seen Everybody's seen The Wire.
I mean, come on, man. It's like a mural in Bodymore. The opening credits, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, a Baltimore police officer, here's the video right here. Actually, this they go ahead and analyze the whole thing here, don't they? Man, loading does, you know what's...
Buffering.
Yeah, you know what kills a...
Love me some buffering.
Kills a talk radio show or a podcast
buffering.
Is buffering. What are we doing right now?
Buffering.
We're sitting around with microphones in front of our faces, with headphones on our heads,
waiting for
watching this thing.
Slowed it down dramatically. On
say dramatic.
Dramatic. He did.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I like it.
Can you expand that video?
Gotcha.
It's going to be kind of all over the place. Pretty hard to.
Anyway, this guy's basically talking.
Let's listen to him explain it.
We'll continue with a series of still pictures.
No, I like the fact that he said dramatic.
Well, you have to like that. What's not to like about that?
So here...
That's very Baltimore.
Yeah. This looks like the scene from The Wire, essentially. Look at these streets.
This is in the west side?
I think I saw Omar with a shotgun. Right
yeah. Hey, Omar's coming. Video's basically showing... it starts out with a lot of running and a lot of camera bouncing. And this is the part where the bad guy runs out of the alley.
He's pursuing a bad guy.
Oh, boy, he has a gun in his hand. Oh, boy, he's putting the gun right at me. And
so this officer is going towards, I guess, a call for all the officers chasing a bailout. As he's going towards that, he sees this guy coming around out of the corner from the alley holding a gun in his right hand. Clear as day, he runs about...
Yeah, they slow it down right here in the video.
He's about 3 feet from him when he comes around the corner. He takes off, chasing after him, pulls his gun. As he sees the suspect take the gun and like turn towards him while he's still running and point.
Look at that restraint. That officer, he's chasing an armed felon, and then he sees the gun. You can see the gun. But he doesn't shoot until he turns around. I mean, this is a clear justified. I mean...
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no question in this one.
What I'm saying is, God bless that. Yeah, that body camera, because that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the body camera is great. I mean, look at that. It shows as he's lifting the gun towards the officer, and then
Didn't you said he just got out of jail the day before, right?
Yeah, he was released the day before.
So
Curtis Deal, 18 years old, was fleeing on foot from Baltimore Police Department officers while he had a gun visible in his hand. Deal ran by officer David Kinland, who was joining in the pursuit. Both Deal and Officer Kinland turned to confront each other, and Deal began to raise his gun towards the officer. Officer Kinland's exceptional reaction time allowed him to recognize the threat and respond appropriately.
Plus his full sleeves.
Yeah, that's right. I do like his tattoo sleeves all over. The merest fraction of a second would have allowed Deal to fire at the officer. Here's a quote from Baltimore Police Commissioner Kevin Davis. Curtis Deal had plenty of opportunities to get rid of the gun during the minute-long foot chase. Curtis Deal chose not to get rid of that gun, and then he decided to point the gun at the officers.
Absolutely.
This didn't have to happen. This was absolutely a preventable thing. Curtis Deal should have been behind bars.
Very true.
When questioned about whether the shooting was justified, the commissioner said, quote, Mr. Deal pointed a loaded gun at a Baltimore City officer. Period. Next question.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you need to say?
Finally, somebody, anybody.
Did you hear him say it, too? He sounded a little frustrated with the question. Like,
did he?
Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, they have video. Do we have video?
Yeah, I watched the video of it.
Is it good? That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, and he was like, are you kidding me?
Well, good, because it's a little frustrating that people are entertaining this idea of, well, was it justified after watching the video? What do you think? He's pointing a gun at a cop. What do you mean justified? Anyway, watch the video on the Facebook page, too. It's pretty good. Here's an article by Cowgirl. A gang declares war on police, threatened to ambush and kill Danville police officers.
Where's this?
Danville, Virginia.
Where in Virginia?
Danville.
Okay, but where is that in, like, is that, like, near D.C.?
I have no idea.
Or is that, like, south or what? I mean, Virginia's pretty big.
You got a smartphone on you, Jimmy. Why don't you pull up Danville? Tell us where Danville, Virginia is. Like, Dan from Roseanne. Roseanne's husband, Dan. And Ville, like...
The Ville.
Ville.
You watch Roseanne.
Everybody used to watch Roseanne.
Did you watch Roseanne when you were little?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think I may have.
I hate admitting it.
I wouldn't be able to tell you a single episode from Roseanne. Like, all right, look, I could tell you every single episode of Seinfeld.
You got a Danville, California, and a Danville, Virginia. So,
Virginia.
Virginia.
For the 10th time.
Way to pay attention.
My Guinness is getting to me, okay?
You barely touched the first one that you had.
Damn it, Jimmy.
Must have been a Molly or something in there. I don't know.
How far are you in that Guinness right there?
It's almost empty, bro.
Let me see that.
Look at that shit. Oh.
It's all right. I'll dump it out. I can't see the bottle's pitch black.
He hands a black bottle to you that's wrapped.
Oh, you know what? That is empty. I will... I know a guy who, instead of says kudos, says cooties. You guys are killing me with your cell phones bleeding into our headphones. Anyway, Danville, Virginia. After three Danville police officers were recently shot at by suspects in separate incidents, the police department has learned about the gang members waging war on the police. According to WF My News 2. Yep, that's WF My News 2. What F My News 2? Threats have been received against individual police officers as well as the department. In the past several months, two Danville police vehicles have been struck by gunfire. Another vehicle was shot at but was not hit. These incidents happened while the officers were on routine patrol and were made by suspects who were in hiding, never captured. Gang members have also been openly wearing shirts that said DPDK on them, which means Danville Police Department Killers.
Wow.
That's unique.
And the phrase ain't for none is also on the shirts. And, you know, none is... it's not spelled N-O-N-E. It's spelled as N-U-N, which is the incorrect way of spelling it. Ain't for none, and it ain't didn't have an apostrophe in it also, which I had a problem with it. Ain't for none is also on the shirts, and police said that the phrase is the quote term for someone not afraid to stand up to anyone regardless of the status or size. Danville Police Captain Haley said the officers are not afraid to do their jobs. He also said, quote, they're enthusiastic to serve these warrants and catch these guys, end quote. Captain Haley said that they want to avoid officer-involved shootings, but the gang members have made their intent plain. Quote, they want to target and kill cops. He also said that the gang is using ambush-style techniques, which is pretty frightening.
Yep.
He said, quote, we're not just going to stand there and be a target. And unfortunately, we're not the one who makes the call whether or not the bad guy pulls a gun and starts shooting.
End quote.
Captain Haley said the more SWAT officers will be riding with the patrol officers from now on. Whoa! SWAT officers are going to be riding with patrol officers. That's going to be one lethal...
It says here they set the record, city set a record for 16 homicides. And I don't know how that compares around the state, but...
In Danville, Virginia.
What's the population of that city?
Again, I don't know. It just says violence 16? In Danville continues to rise after a year where the city set a record of 16 homicides. The outbreak of crime has continued into this year with a double homicide, shootings, and several robberies with suspects using knives and bats. So, I don't know.
That was a sloppy crime scene, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. Police have also said that this is an ongoing attempt of to consolidate control over local gangs and to organize them along the lines of nationally known street gangs. Younger gang members are encouraged to commit various crimes for initiation purposes, as well as street cred. Police also believe that these younger members are being recruited through social media and that, anyway. That's pretty ballsy, I'd say, to start declaring war on police departments.
Makes it easier in court. Their intent has been
true. Yeah, I do agree with that. All right, here's an article. Danny Lipscomb. Lipscomb? C-O-M-B?
Your guess is as good as mine.
All right. I mean, I want to say the other, but... Danny Lipscomb, who was spared prison after shooting cop, arrested again just days after sentence. Article by Cowgirl. In Gadsden, Alabama, just days after he was given a sentence with no prison time, attempted cop killer Danny Lipscomb...
Shot... at a police officer and got no jail time?
It says attempted cop killer. So we'll see what the... has violated his probation and is now in jail.
Oh, weird.
The previously reported... Blue Lives Matter previously reported that Lipscomb pled guilty to on January 30th, 2017, to a lesser charge to avoid serving time in prison for a 2009 incident involving Gadsden police officer Byram Hammonds. The plea rightfully upset Officer Hammonds, who believed the criminal justice system had betrayed him.
Yeah.
Lipscomb was originally charged with attempted murder. He pled to one count of attempted assault and was spared any prison time.
Wow.
Lipscomb on the lips, received a 10 years of community corrections, which is probation, for attempting to kill Officer Hammonds. 9 days later, Lipscomb's probation was violated after he was given a routine drug screen and tested, would you believe, Brad?
Positive.
For both marijuana and cocaine. Marcus Reed, Etowah County Deputy District Attorney, has filed a motion asking the original charge be reinstated. In the motion, he said, quote, although only a week has passed since the defendant was placed with community corrections, he has already violated the terms and conditions of his diversion and proven himself unworthy of the opportunity afforded to him by his court. Reed also said, this diversion represented an opportunity granted by the court for the defendant to remain in the community and prove himself worthy of a second chance.
Okay.
He has utterly failed to avail himself of this opportunity, end quote. Reed asked Lipscomb be placed back in jail immediately, and he remains in custody. Lipscomb's next hearing is scheduled for February 16th. After the January 30th court hearing, he and the plea... Gadsden Police Officer Hammond said that the last word that he had from the district attorney's office was that, quote, they would never make a deal with anyone that would try to kill a police officer.
And that's what they did.
That's exactly what they did. And 2009 incident began, and Officer Hammond stopped Lipscomb vehicle, and he fled. A foot pursuit followed. Officer Hammond came upon Lipscomb. Officer Hammond said that they met face-to-face, and Lipscomb had a gun. Raised it and pointed it at him, then fired at least 3 shots before he could return fire. And he didn't get jail time for that? He said that he believed he was going to die that day and knew that he had to do something. Officer Hammond said, when a police officer is out here risking their life, trying to enforce the law and to help other people, we become the victim. All we ask is that the law protect us. And in this case, it didn't. That must be a bummer. So, anyway, his hearing's coming up. You think he'll get another slap on the wrist?
Probably.
Probably.
I don't know. It's made headlines. People are starting to pay attention, so.
I bet he's going to skate. Skate. He's strapping on skates literally as we speak right now. Yeah. All right. Cowgirl, man. Cowgirl's attracting all my attention on articles today. Here's a court vacates conviction on would-be cop killer Richard Van Gordon because prosecutor didn't prove suspect's age.
I don't get this one at all. I don't understand.
Actually, I didn't read this one.
So he's 38 years old at the time of shooting.
I'll read it for you guys.
So he wasn't on the cusp of like 17, 18. Like, we don't know whether adult.
Have you ever been in court where somebody had to prove their age for
a your phone?
No.
It's bleeding into the mic, man.
Yeah, I'm getting.
Not me.
I think it's yours. Yep, it's yours. Bath, New York. Where are you from? I'm from Bath. Take a bath in Bath. I'm about to take a bath in Bath. A New York appeals court has overturned attempted first-degree murder convictions in the case of Richard Van Gordon, who shot a New York State trooper in 2011, according to the Evening Tribune. The appeals court has court decision has handed down on Friday, was handed down on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. The ruling was unanimous. Anonymous or unanimous?
Unanimous.
Unanimous?
Yeah.
Unanimous.
So, unanimous. All right. It's we have a unanimous vote for unanimous. The ruling was unanimous and included the decision that the prosecutors did not submit evidence at the 2013 trial, that Van Gordon was more than 18 years old at the time that the crimes were committed. He was 38 years old in 2011.
They can look at him and say,
"That's like, huh?
This man's
this guy's
close to 40."
Hey there, sir. This is a rated R movie. Can we see your ID, please? Richard Van Gordon was sentenced.
Go in his pocket and grab his ID.
I don't know. Was sentenced to a trial by Steuben County Court Judge Joseph W. Latham.
See, if that judge wanted to, he could have said, "Hey, sir, let me see your ID right now. It's in your
40
pocket.
Years.
Go to your wallet and grab it."
The problem is, it was never brought up. And if it's not brought up, it can't be used in court. So that's the thing. The defense knew they weren't going to bring it up because it would be hurting them. The prosecutor forgot to bring it up, so they were not able to prove that he was over 18. I mean, it sounds like nonsense, but that's what court's all about. It's technicalities. That's how they get
off.
And the judge,
not every hearing, there's a burden of proof for age.
However, if you're being charged as an adult, so...
Yeah, but he's 38 at the time of the shooting.
apparent.
I mean...
I get it. It's
the apparent. The guy looks like S.
Beyond reasonable doubt as a standard. So I'm not siding with them. I'm just saying that is exactly why you go
playing
to law
a little
school.
Devil's advocate here, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm just saying. They're smart. They go to...
Brad and Adi don't like that.
Clearly they are. Clearly it's a good lawyer. Him off.
And I can't say the
He laughed the whole way home too.
He probably liked.
He goes, "That worked."
But you know what though?
Really?
Karma is a BITCH. That worked.
Remember the beautiful form of Nancy Kerrigan during the 90s Olympics when she was skating across the rink.
I was born in 1987.
In the fabulous figure.
Okay, so what?
Or I'm sorry, Tanya Harding maybe.
Still, I know who that is.
No, okay. Whatever.
Ariana Grande.
Just okay. Imagine her skating. That's exactly what he did, Richard.
All right.
Van Gordon on his skates, just skating right out of that courthouse, going, "Yee, look at me."
Nah, karma will bite up to him. It'll catch up to him.
For the attempted murder of the New York State troopers, Thomas Cork, and Joshua Bacon, two troopers. The sentence came after the jury convicted Van Gordon of 7 felonies, including 2 counts of attempted first-degree murder.
All right.
The other convictions were for 2 counts of tampering with physical evidence, second-degree criminal mischief.
Mischief, unanimous.
Mischief.
It's unanimously mischief.
First degree criminal use of a firearm, fourth degree criminal possession of a weapon, and a first degree reckless endangerment. An attempted first degree murder conviction reduced Richard Van Gordon's convictions to second degree attempted murder. This vacated Van Gordon's 40-year life sentence for each count of the attempted first degree murder. In its ruling, the appeals court said that the unanimously modified as a matter of discretion in the interest of justice and the law. Okay, the appeals court also blah 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 vacated Richard Van Gordon's conviction of the first degree reckless endangerment and second degree reckless endangerment. According to the appeals court ruling, this charge was reduced due to lack of evidence and Van Gordon's conduct exposed his girlfriend to a grave, quote unquote, grave risk of death. The reduction changed the conviction from a felony to a misdemeanor. So essentially they're having like these little trickle downs, keeps bumping them down. And then the incident occurred in the morning of September 27, 2011. Trooper Cork and Bacon attempted to pull over Van Gordon's truck on Seneca Road in Hornellsville for a non-working license plate lamp. He refused to stop and pursuit began. He first rammed a police cruiser with the side of the truck where his 19-year-old girlfriend... Wait a minute. Was a passenger, leading to the reckless endangerment charge. Didn't they say he was 38 years old at the time of the thing? He's got a 19-year-old girlfriend. Well done.
Good for him.
Was a passenger leading in the reckless endangerment charge. Okay.
Can we prove she's 19?
No, can't.
Yeah, really. Who knows?
You can't.
Yeah. She might have been 12, so he could... maybe we should just charge him as whatever the law is over there. He continued to flee, reaching speeds between 55 and 80 miles per hour. He slowed the speed of his truck enough to allow the troopers to catch up to him and then fired at them. Trooper Cork said he ducked down as the first rifle shot was fired. He said that he, quote, felt a wave of heat in the car and he could taste and feel gunshot residue in his car. Trooper Cork said that he began backing his patrol car up and that he heard one or two more gunshots. The trooper said that he discontinued the pursuit at that time. A bullet was later found to have pierced the driver's side front door pillar, just inches from Trooper Cork's head. Whew. Rich Van Gordon and his girlfriend Christine Simmons were taken into custody about 12 hours after the original incident, after they were tracked to a mobile home park in Wellsville.
I'm sorry, a trailer park?
Yeah. Okay. The suspect then barricaded themselves and had to be flushed out of the trailer with tear gas.
Where was the meth lab?
It is ruling, the appeal court noted that the state had ample opportunity to provide evidence to the jury that Richard Van Gordon was more than 18 years old, and that although the jury could see him in court, that the state did not satisfy its burden of proof. It also modified Van Gordon's conviction as a second felony offender. The difference between attempted first-degree murder and a second-degree murder is significant. The former has a sentence of 40 years to life, while the latter has a maximum sentence of 25 years. So, yeah.
Okay, so in order for the prosecutor to charge him with whatever it was, they had in that clause or in that, you know, the wording...
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner's manual, whatever you want to call it. It's going to say, you know, you have to be
the language.
It's going to say you have to be 18 years old. So the question is, did the prosecutor skip that over completely? Or did they forget? Did they say he's over 18 but not provide a birth certificate, an ID? I mean, these are questions obviously we're not going to know the answer to because I'm sure, I don't know if the article gets that specific. Somewhere down the line, somebody screwed up.
I'd say.
I would also say the defense attorney is a bunch of because they knew damn well that the guy is 38 years old.
Again, whatever he paid for this one, or if he didn't pay for it.
It's probably a public freaking defender because they're all.
Public defender is well done in that case for the public defender. He's got him off. Here's a fun story by Officer Blue. Robert Handmaker, a restaurant owner who said that. Hang on a sec. Let me get the time here. Yeah, you're right. Robert Handmaker, restaurant owner who said employee spit in officer's food, was arrested in a bizarre prostitution case. Oh, we love these stories.
All right, go ahead.
Jacksonville, Florida. Where else?
Florida, stop it.
Robert Handmaker recently disclosed to police officers that his employees spit in their food. It turns out that Handmaker was previously arrested in a prostitution sting. A Florida Times Union reported in 2007 that Robert Handmaker, owner of Cruiser's Grill, was arrested after responding to a prostitution ad put up in a sting operation. Handmaker reportedly offered here's the good part. Handmaker reportedly offered an undercover officer $75 to put a pair of underwear that he brought with him and masturbate. Robert Handmaker told Times Union at that time that he had responded to a Craigslist ad and that he did not solicit anyone for sex. At the time of the writing, we were unable to confirm that Handmaker was convicted. Handmaker also responded to the incident about spitting in officers' food by denying that it ever happened. In the recent release police report, Jacksonville Beach police officers reported that they responded to Cruiser's Grill on at 23rd Avenue South in Jacksonville Beach for a false fire alarm. While they were there, the owner, Robert Hammond, asked if he could speak to them in his office. Can I speak to you in my office, please? Here, grab this pair of underwear. They went into his office with him, and he showed them a traffic citation. Handmaker told the officer that he was stopped by an officer for an expired registration. Action News reported that Handmaker told the officers, quote, I explained who I was, and he didn't seem to care.
Wow.
He said that he told the officers that he gave him a ticket, that he has been a staple, quote, in the Jacksonville Beach community for years, and that he had been offering discounts to public servants. One of the officers told Handmaker that he couldn't resolve his complaint, but would inform a supervisor. Handmaker cursed at him. He told the officers that, quote, I have been made aware for quite some time now that some of my employees have been spitting an officer's food. And now I know why, because you are all bullies. If you're a grown man, I don't think you should have the right to use the word bullies.
No, you can't use that anymore.
Well, in the era of snowflakes, I'm pretty sure that's the
snowflakes.
The common verbiage.
Bunch of bullies.
Bullies, you guys are...
You're a bully because I don't agree with what you're saying.
Bully, exactly. bully. The officer said that Handmaker cursed at them again and said, have a great day, expletive. Probably have a great day, a-hole.
Heard worse.
Anyway, so after... anyway, Robert Hammond's released a statement saying that he was disappointed about the, quote, false rumors being spread about the police department or by the police department, including the chief who went out a memo warning officers about the incident. Well, that was fun. There we go. Just a creep who likes to go on Craigslist and request it, you know, underwear, etc.
Who hasn't done that?
There's weird people out there.
There's a bunch of
weirdos.
I'm sitting to the right of one right now.
You're sitting
directly
across
in front of them. Yeah.
And finally, last.
Make sure you leave me yours before you leave.
Yeah. How's that? Did you get another Guinness?
You want my boxers?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Exactly. Oh.
What kind of underwear you think you brought? Boxers or like female underwear?
I wear Under Armour boxers. Thank you very much.
No, not you. I'm talking about the Handmaker guy.
Oh, you don't want to know about mine? All right.
I kind of do. Now we're on topic. Why not?
We'll talk later.
No, we can talk now. I mean, now that we brought it up.
I mean, I get a
What would you ask
deal.
Him?
I get a good deal from Under Armour. 10% off. Police discount.
He lies.
How much is a pair of Under Armour underwear?
Like $40
with a pair. With discount, it's about $18.
Now, is it like Cool Gear and Hot Gear underwear?
Yeah, man. It feels great. Feels
he buys women's boy shorts from Under Armour.
That is not entirely false.
Is it like boxer briefs or is it?
Nah, it's just straight up boxers. Yeah.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll look it up. Hey, here's a story from
extra large
by Cowgirl. This is from Dearborn, Michigan. Michigan, right?
Don't you know?
Don't you know now, eh, Bubble? Speaking of which, Bubba was supposed to be here today, and you know what his excuse was? 51 minutes before coming over here?
Yeah.
I believe he wrote, so I just got into a very dangerous project of baking brownies and cleaning out the pantry.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens when you're married, not that I would
know. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was him texting or his wife.
No, it's probably his wife.
Uh-oh. Did we text the wrong number?
He didn't want to endure the wrath of the beatings that would continue if he didn't do the... I don't know.
So you guys
think... There would have been a domestic at that house
tonight. There would definitely have been a domestic, yeah.
So you guys genuinely think that he's cleaning out the pantry right now?
No, I think it's probably
There's no chance.
He's either sitting...
Or he just didn't feel like coming out.
Why don't we send a car over and we'll see?
I don't know.
I think
I want to believe that.
Why don't you call him on the phone?
I don't even know what I want to believe right now.
Do you think he's wearing an apron?
I'm just disgusted. Probably.
And he's wearing his glasses?
I guarantee it.
Why don't you call him on the phone right now, put it up to the mic, and then see what he says. See how he answers.
It probably won't be appropriate.
It's all right. But what did the other one say? There was a... what's his name?
He's putting kids to bed or something. A lot of excuses out of these guys.
There are many excuses out here. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm trying to run a legitimate podcast
here. I have
here.
To come every week because I have no excuse.
And,
I just don't have one. I would tread lightly with that.
Let him know directly.
Of course. And we're trying to get a hold of our...
Hello?
Hey, Bubba, you're on, you're live on, Criminal Masterminds. How are you today, sir?
I'm sorry, you said I'm live?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bubble. How are you?
Tread lightly.
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Just sitting here with the kiddos.
Oh, boy.
How clean is that pantry?
Yeah, so the pantry, and you're making brownies now?
Yeah, working on that. You can hear the oven timer in the background. My parents coming in, so, you know, got to make sure the house is thick and span.
So full of crap.
But I think some of us are here are very skeptical whether that's the case.
It's a unanimous vote that we...
you can be as skeptical as you care to be. I'm just telling you what it is. We had a mouse in our pantry, so I had to clean up the pantry.
You had a mouse in your pantry?
Now it's a mouse.
Yep.
The lies keep compiling.
The pantry, and they're coming through the garage, and they're sneaking up the wall, and they're coming in and living in the pantry.
The lies keep compiling.
He's telling a story.
Brad Donati here.
He's digging himself a deep hole.
He's doubting all your stories.
Well, he's as skilled as I think he is. Oh, no.
Oh, don't you know now? Well, anyway, we just wanted to let you know that you're tremendously missed. And perhaps next time there won't be any brownie baking or, mice in your pantry.
Well, it's important to scare the mouse away with brownies, you know, part of my tactic.
Yeah, it usually works.
Because the more brownies I eat, the more dangerous I get.
Okay, well, keep being dangerous, Bubbo, and we'll have a good weekend now.
All right, dear, dear.
Okay, bye-bye now. I don't believe him.
I don't either, but there's no way to know.
No, there's a way to know. We don't believe. We stick to our guns.
I just say we go to his house.
I don't like that guy anymore.
There's a mouse now. There wasn't a mouse. No. I figured you'd mention the mouse. It's like he just said, I was cleaning out the pantry.
Telling you, his nose is growing. That story is just...
Little Pinocchio over there.
You know what I mean?
All right.
I know BS when I hear it.
I kind of want to end a podcast on the show on this end tonight with our failed attempt at having Mr. Bubble here. Jimmy, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brad Donati, it's good to see you after many, many MIAs.
It always is good to see Brad Donati.
Perhaps we'll see you on the next one.
Oh,
and
we will.
To you, the listeners, thank you for listening. And to our men and women out there working today, be safe and get home safely. And we thank you, as always, for listening. Take care.